Mr. Gable.
Please, the court. My name is Thomas Gable. I'm an assistant federal public defender from the Southern District of Illinois. We're here today, or I'm here today, on whether or not the district court's new term of supervised release requiring Mr. Johnson to submit a search of his person, residence, real property, place of business, computer, or other electronic communication or data storage device, media, vehicle, or any other property under his control at a reasonable time in a reasonable manner based upon a reasonable suspicion of contraband or evidence of a violation or of a condition.
We know what it says. I mean, here's my question for you, Mr. Gable.
Yes.
The offenses, among other things, that Mr. Johnson committed while in supervised release included distributing marijuana and passing counterfeit money. Distributing marijuana, it seems to me, could well cause a district court to think his residence needs to be searched from time to time. And a lot of people make counterfeit money using computers and trying to get special paper and so forth. So this doesn't strike me as beyond the pale for a reasonable condition of supervised release.
To address your second point first, Your Honor, on the counterfeit money, there is no indication that my client ever produced the money at all. In fact, the testimony the day
It's true. He says that he got it through a drug deal, but the judge could be suspicious of that.
That's true, Your Honor, except for the fact that the agent that was testifying that day said it all appeared to be used and not new. In fact, that was one of the points that were brought out that the
a good counterfeiter, if he's going to pass his own counterfeit, would give some appearance.
That would be the case, but also the judge found that he had traded marijuana for counterfeit money.
Is your argument that the entirety of the search special condition should be stricken, or just the computer and phone part of it?
I think the overbroad, Your Honor, and the judge should constrict it down. How he would decide to constrict it down, of course, would be up to the district judge. The way it is written right now,
sir. I mean, you're focusing on certain things. I was assuming when you focused on the counterfeit money that perhaps the submission of search of his person, his residence, and real property and his place of business, to take the first few things, might make a lot of sense if he's in the drug business. Computer or other electronic communication or data storage device, I thought you were arguing,
wasn't as closely.
I mean, so to just say it's up to the district, judge has already told us what he thinks is necessary.
Your Honor, the media devices and the computer is one I'm really focusing on because, as I was saying before, there's no indication that my client ever used a computer for anything. None. You know, he does have a cell phone.
But how do we know that?
That he has a cell phone?
No, that he didn't use a computer for
anything. Well, Your Honor, the only thing I can show in the record is the testimony from the agent that the money appeared to be old, and the testimony that my client had traded the marijuana for the counterfeit and was then passing it at a strip club.
But if the district judge has perhaps some suspicion that maybe that's not true and he did use a computer, even though the money was aged, if there's a reasonable suspicion, that's the basis for the search anyway. Doesn't make sense to have him look at the computer?
Well, Your Honor, the way the actual condition is worded, a violation of your condition of supervised release is enough. So if he had a parking ticket, you can go in and search everything. Because that is a...
If there's another offense, that's true.
So it's overbroad. In fact, it's more overbroad than the conditions...
Why does he have a privacy interest in it not being that broad? I'm looking at all these things he's done, not just the most recent. It's the drug stuff. It's failing to comply with reporting, not paying financial penalties. I mean, people in today's world use their computers to run their life. It seems to me if there's a reasonable suspicion of contraband or evidence of a violation, then this search can be done. If it turns out he's behaving himself, he can always ask for relief from it in the future.
Your Honor, I believe that his conditions, the way they're worded, is more overbroad than the conditions even for a sex offender. Because in a sex offender case, you would have to have reasonable, let me word it correctly. reasonable suspicion concerning a violation of a condition of a supervised release or unlawful conduct. In our case here, you don't have to have reasonable suspicion. All you have to have is any evidence of. And any evidence is a lower standard than reasonable suspicion, a much lower standard.
Well, I'm not sure how much lower it is. I mean, I think one can imagine there is some relation between, say, his cell phone, I'll just use that since you mentioned it, and the drug business. Most drug dealers do, in fact, use cell phones at some point. Whether they go back and put it on their computer and, you know, keep computerized records of their sales, I wouldn't know. But certainly cell phones are big.
I can understand your position, Your Honor. I believe that the way it's written, it's overbroad for what my client has done.
Okay.
I want to back you up just a little bit in terms of bringing this to the attention of the sentencing judge. Nothing was said when this was announced. Now, I understand lots happens at sentencings and so forth, but if this were a problem for your client, it seems to me that asking the judge to modify it at that point would have made a lot more sense.
It would have, Your Honor. And, of course, our argument is this is an exception rather than an objection, and whether or not we agree or y'all agree with that or not, we would then turn to the fact even under plain error, it would still require it to be fixed. But it would have been a cleaner...
In shaping the special conditions like this, it would seem to me that a simple word at the sentencing court would be a much better way to address this.
You're 100% correct, Your Honor. That is exactly the way it should have been done. Your Honor, barring any other further questions, I'm going to turn it over to the United States Attorney.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Lee?
Good morning. Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Jungmin Lee, and I represent the United States. Your Honors, there's only one issue in this case. It's whether the district court's imposition of the search condition related to a supervised release resulted in plain error. The answer to that question is no, for two reasons.
I'm not sure it's a plain error. It's right in the borderline between the kind of error that requires some further objection in the district court and the kind of error that does not. So what I'm interested in is, under any standard for that matter, what is the justification for computer or other electronic communication or data storage devices or media?
Yes, Your Honor. Looking at the 3553 factors, the record here is clear that the judge went into great detail regarding the history and characteristics of the defendant as well as the nature and circumstances of the offense. In particular, given the defendant's extensive involvement in drug dealing, it was reasonable for the judge to impose the special search condition. Specifically, it was entirely reasonable for the judge to be concerned with the possibility that a drug dealer could use phones or computers to facilitate and arrange drug transactions.
Where did you say that?
Your Honor, the record doesn't reflect his actual words regarding that. However,
because he doesn't have any. That's why the record doesn't reflect it. I mean, as I say, I certainly have seen tons of revocations of supervised release where people put a search condition for the residence, for property, for the person, vehicles, you know, given the way the drug business operates. Mr. Gable makes a good point about the counterfeiting. If he's some intermediary and somebody else is making the counterfeit money and he's out there in the bar trying to pass counterfeit bills, then it's not going to be his computer that has the software on it that creates this illegal material. So do you agree that if he so much as parks too near a fire hydrant, his whole computer is going to be searched by the probation officer?
No, Your Honor.
The evidence of, one condition of supervised release is that you're not supposed to violate any laws, federal, state, or local. Parking near a fire hydrant violates a local law. So does that just open the door?
I do not believe it does, Your Honor. First of all, the probation officer would have discretion.
Well, but I want law, not discretion.
Sure. The way it's written, Your Honor, it says that the defendant would be submitted to a search of his various properties and persons based upon either a reasonable suspicion or evidence of a violation. So,
right, and I'm saying a violation of a condition of supervised release. One condition of supervised release is always you shall not violate any federal, state, or local law.
Yes.
So if you violate a local law, you run a red light, you park too close to a fire hydrant, you do something along those lines, you park too long in those expensive Chicago parking places, then you violated a condition of supervised release. And as I read this, that means his computer can be searched completely, anything he has. Even though there's no link between parking too long at a fire hydrant and whatever's on his computer.
Yes, Your Honor, presumably that is a possibility that may happen in this case.
Yeah.
Well, though, this condition, it requires a reasonable suspicion of contraband or evidence of a violation. If the type of violation that is suspected would not implicate a computer or a cell phone, could the search still be done of those items? I mean, it's sort of the you can't find an elephant in a matchbox type of thing, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor. I suppose as it is written, it is possible that a search of that type could be conceivably done.
So you read this, once there's a suspicion of any violation, a computer search could be done, regardless of whether the violation could implicate a computer.
Well no, Your Honor. The way I read it is that the reasonable suspicion of contraband or the evidence of a violation has to be related to the search. It doesn't actually say the words related to.
Yeah, it doesn't say that anywhere, and that is actually the thrust of Mr. Gable's argument.
Yes, Your Honor. The government recognizes that it doesn't actually say the words in relation to. However, this court has consistently upheld search conditions of this type and many other cases. The cases, the case here doesn't involve any of the overbroad or unduly harsh conditions that this court has been concerned with in the past. The search condition here isn't blanket, and it's not absolute. It's restricted to a reasonable time and manner, and it must be based, as Your Honor has pointed out, upon a reasonable suspicion of contraband or evidence of a violation of condition of supervised release. Regarding Mr. Gable's points concerning the counterfeit bills, on an initial matter, at the revocation hearing, there were conflicting reports as to the source of the counterfeit bills, so it's unclear where exactly the defendant received the counterfeit bills. But additionally, given his conduct in passing along the counterfeit bills, it was reasonable for the judge to be concerned with the possibility that the defendant would use computers or electronic equipment to produce the counterfeit bills, especially in light of the testimony from the Secret Service agent at the hearing, who concluded that the counterfeit bills that the defendant possessed were printed from an inkjet printer. Your Honor, a computer would have had to been used to produce the bills from an inkjet printer.
So that does tie it to the possibility of using his computer, notwithstanding the fact that they'd apparently manipulated so to show use.
Yes, Your Honor, that is the case.
That's direct.
But everybody has inkjet printers. Do we know that he had an inkjet printer or that it was his printer that produced the bills?
No, we do not know where it came from what, but the idea is that the judge was concerned that in the future the defendant could be using computers to produce.
Even if he didn't make any of the counterfeit bills before, the judge is concerned he's going to go into the production business as opposed to the passing business?
It's a possibility that the judge was concerned with, which is why he imposed a special search condition with the reasonableness conditions attached. Ultimately, after hearing the evidence presented at the revocation hearing, the judge concluded, in light of the violations he heard, including the passing of the counterfeit, as well as the distribution of marijuana, a search condition was necessary. Your Honors, the determination here was not a clear nor was it an obvious error. It's also not an error that seriously impugned the fairness or integrity of the judicial proceedings. Therefore, if there are no further questions, the United States respectfully requests that this court affirm the imposition of the search condition.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Lee. Anything further, Mr. Peeble?
Your Honor, I'd just like to clarify one point. In this case, the district judge found my client guilty of two separate violations, serious violations. One was trading 1 pound of marijuana for $3,000 of counterfeit money, and the other was passing the counterfeit money. So the judge found that he traded the marijuana for the money. He did not find that he made the money. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel.